Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. And yes, I do say the same thing every day. Nothing original about that introduction or that welcome. Maybe if you want to send me, your ideas about what I can use so I can change it up. I'm open to that. But until then, I guess I'll stick with the same.
Originality is overrated.
You think so?
Yeah, absolutely. I've always said that.
Well, we've had that same music forever. So
yeah,
there's comfort in routine, I think.
We should switch to the opening of The Rifleman. That my favorite Western. That could be the opening to our show every day.
Okay, Brent, pull that up, and let's see what Ed's got in mind here. Walker Wildman, while we wait on Brent to pull up The Rifleman theme, Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. I'm looking forward to this song. This is going to be a great start to the show.
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
it's awesome.
Yeah, it's from the 50s or 60s?
It was the 60s. It was 60s. For five
years.
It's
actually the 40s, isn't it?
No, it wasn't the 40s. You're older than me, aren't you? Are you making an old man joke? We're ready to go?
Wait, let me introduce Fred Jackson here, who likes to make fun of Ed.
And after we hear The Rifleman, yeah. I want to tell you why I'm celebrating today.
Okay, so Ed thinks maybe we need to take this theme and make it our own for today's issues. Go ahead. Wow. Okay. You know what? I like it. Now, I think we could probably get in more trouble with the Southern Poverty Law Center for being a hate group, given that we're promoting violence. And
yeah.
Well, but now Lucas McCain on the show
only
defended himself. It's the only time he used his rifle. But I saw, and I actually posted this on my Facebook page, somebody put together, this is the absolute truth, every scene in which Lucas McCain killed someone on The Rifleman,
yeah,
120 victims. If you're right. Even if you claim self-defense and all those.
Did he sort of live on edge?
Was he a little uptight guy?
No,
man. This wasn't over a parking space for your horse. There was always bad people challenging him.
Oh, wow. Yeah. But did he ever get hit?
He got punched, but I don't think he ever got shot.
Wow, so he took 120 to zero.
Yes.
That's Floyd Merriweather number right there. Huh? I mean, that's pretty serious. So
anyway, that's my contribution to the
percentage.
Show. I think The Rifleman would be a great...
We can consider that. I don't know if we get sued for copyright infringement or whatever, but
probably.
Anyway. All right, Fred,
yeah.
Good morning to you. Walker, tell us what we're going to be doing on the world of Facebook.
Yes, before I get to Facebook, here's what I want to talk about, and I mentioned this yesterday. Listener testimonies on American Family Radio. Our fall share-a-thon, October 17th through 19th, is coming up. What our share-a-thon is where we ask our supporters to come alongside us and support the work of AFR so we can stay on the air and continue playing the song that we just played.
Right.
No, I'm joking.
Right.
No, this broadcast and all of everything that goes on in American Family Radio cost, and so that's when we ask our listeners to come alongside us and support our work. But here's the number you can call to give your listener testimony. It's a recorded line. You'll be asked to press a button and to record your testimony, and all we need is first name, the state you live in, maybe the city, station you listen to, and how AFR has positively affected your life. If it's had a negative effect, then just don't call.
Don't call and give us a negative testimony about American Family Radio's caused you to go into depression, go on medications, cause strife in your family, things of that nature. We want only positive testimonies.
Yeah, it's Positive Thursday on AFR.
So
here's the number to call to share your listener testimony.
Seriously, just so people know, what we're going to do is, if you listen during Share-a-thon, which is coming up in October, as Walker mentioned, from time to time during Share-a-thon, about once an hour or so, we will play a testimony from somebody who's called in and said this is how AFR has impacted their life. Mm-hmm. So That's what we're recruiting those now. We'll play those during our share-a-thon.
That's right. So if you call into Trivia Friday and you just can't get in, you want to be on AFR, well, this might be your chance to be heard on AFR. Here's the number to call, 877-876-8893. That phone number to call is 877-876-8893.
Fred Jackson.
Those testimonies are terrific.
Yeah, aren't they great?
It's one of the highlights of our share-a-thon, the impact that this network is having on people. You know, you mentioned, Tim, a few weeks ago about the truck driver you met.
Yeah.
You're at a Cracker Barrel.
Right.
You know, we sit in a room here
yeah.
with microphones, and but each day we're well aware across this great nation of ours, there are people listening. They're getting informed. They're getting challenged. I get phone calls. I know you guys, too. Mm-hmm. Could I have more details on this? And Walker puts out the details on the stories each day because people – want more information. The culture that we live in today, I want to be up. You know, this.
Right. Well, we're making a difference.
Yeah. Jody Brown was telling me, we put up the story we had from California yesterday on the kindergartners and being exposed to the transgender. Remember we played that story yesterday?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We put that story on One News Now. It had something like 5,000 likes within an hour and a half.
Wow.
I mean, people are hungry for this information. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just, it's a privilege to be part of all of this.
All right, Walker, what are we going to be doing on Facebook again now?
Yeah, we're live streaming there. So you can go there, watch the show, comment live, share your thoughts on the news story, the stories that we talk about. And also we will post the stories, as Fred mentioned, all the original sources of the stories we talk about, mostly from onenewsnow.com. will all be posted on the Today's Issues Facebook page.
Today's Issues Facebook page. Check it out. We appreciate everybody who visits there and posts their comments and so forth and so on. All right, Fred, what's happening in the news today?
Well, do we want to celebrate first?
Well, we're always in the mood for celebration here. What are we celebrating?
What are you celebrating?
I'm celebrating today because I go for a walk at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm celebrating the fact that someone left the back door open to Canada this morning.
Oh, the weather.
The weather.
Yeah.
The weather across
the cool air.
And I'm assuming most, I don't know how much of the country was affected by that, but you're right, man. I went outside this morning, and it was beautiful, wonderful. About 62 degrees.
Yeah.
And it probably will cool off a little bit more. Texas is getting ready to be hit by Hurricane Harvey.
Yeah, we need to be praying for those folks. They're talking about a surge
hurricane?
Of up 3 feet. It's a tropical storm right now. But they're expecting a surge of 3 to 4 feet along the Texas coast and into Louisiana. So we've got a lot of listeners down that way.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking about myself, basically.
A state of disaster is declared for 30 counties in Texas mm-hmm. in advance of Harvey by Governor Greg Abbott. So we need to be praying for folks down there. Mm-hmm. 10 to 20 inches of rain. Wow.
We do have a new station. We have two new stations in South Texas, one in Corpus Christi mm-hmm. and one in
Alice.
Alice.
Which is just west, probably maybe 30, 40 miles west.
Now, would they be impacted by this? Is that in the
area? They're not the panhandle, but they're at the very, very lower end of Texas.
Yeah, this is supposed to hit the Gulf
Show me
Mexico,
where it's going to hit.
Gulf of Mexico.
I'm looking at a map. It's showing me where it's going to hit.
Yeah, Corpus Christi's. I know this is radio. You can't see what we're pointing at. Corpus Christi's at the very southern end.
Down
at
here,
Brownsville area.
Brownsville's the very southern tip, and then you move up in Corpus Christi. And
but it's going to be a Category 1 hurricane, or maybe even a 2. But mm-hmm. so the main thing is the storm surge and the rain. I guess that would.
Yeah, they're expecting 10 to 20 inches of rain. In some areas, the Houston area, 24 inches plus.
Wow.
See, there's the map. Brownsville,
well,
Corpus
we have
Christi.
A lot of listeners to our Conroe station.
Yes.
Which mm-hmm. is 88.3, which covers part of Houston, the north and the north Conroe in that area, the Woodlands. So they're going to be impacted by that for sure. Mm-hmm. Wow, you're right. You're right, Fred. Didn't mean, and I wasn't making light of that. I was just saying that. When you're not in the path of something like this, you don't think about it too much.
Well, and I was just simply playing off the fact that for us up here, it'll probably cool the temperature down even more.
Right.
But that's not what they're thinking in Texas.
Well, and you know, I've always appreciated Of course, we live here in Tupelo, Northeast Mississippi. I've always appreciated, and most of the country, you get four seasons. Mm-hmm. Maybe not in South Florida or Southern California, which they don't care because they're like 72 every day. They like say to us, you can keep your four seasons.
Right.
Huh? If you want your four
and most
seasons,
of them move
you
down
them.
There to avoid the
right.
four seasons. Right.
We'll stick with 72 degrees every day with no humidity. That really brings up jealousy and anger in a lot of other Americans that people in Southern California.
Oh, my dad would do it purposefully. He lives on the eastern seaboard of Florida, Boca Raton. He would go down to the beach sometimes, and he would take a picture of his feet with the ocean just beyond it. Well, especially when it was like storming or it was real cold in Mississippi or something like that. He'd take a picture and send it, and he'd say, 72 degrees. See my feet? See the ocean? Wish you were here.
Not really. Oh, my word. But anyway, it is nice after you've experienced a very hot, humid summer to have the refreshing fall-like weather come into your area.
Amen.
All right. So go ahead. And the compliments of Canada, Fred says the Canadian.
Well, we get blamed for the cold weather in the wintertime.
So it's nice to take... Nice for Canada to take credit when something nice happens weather-wise, right?
That's right. A couple of legal stories that would lead off in our news this morning. There was a decision by a U.S. district judge late yesterday afternoon named Nelva Gonzalez-Ramos, a Barack Obama nominee. She said the latest version of the Texas voter ID law, she still declares it not acceptable, unconstitutional. Now, the Hedden ID law, it went up the pipe, the legal pipe. It got shot down during the Barack Obama presidential years. We have a change in the Justice Department. The Texas legislature redesigned their voter ID law. The current administration... The current Justice Department says the revised one is just fine. It's legal. It's constitutional. But this Obama-appointed judge yesterday said no, she's not happy with it. She shot it down. Now, I want to read you a portion of her decision yesterday, her reasoning why this is not acceptable. Part of the clarification of this second version of the voter ID law allows for passport books, U.S. passport books and cards as being acceptable ID when you go to vote. All right? A U.S. passport.
A U.S. passport would qualify, or what else?
Would be qualified, or card, cards.
Like a driver's license?
A driver's license. Acceptable. When you go to the poll, here right. I am. I'm a U.S. Got to be a U.S. citizen.
We have that in our state here.
Yeah.
We have to show, and many states, don't you have to show some form of ID?
Well, this is the big controversy going around the country.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
But a passport, you got to be a citizen to get a passport.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
But this is what she said. She found that unacceptable. Here's what she said. This feature remains discriminatory because SB 5, referring to the bill, perpetuates the selection of types of ID most likely to be possessed by Anglo voters and disproportionately not possessed by Hispanics and African Americans.
A driver's license?
No. And a passport.
Hold on a second. I'm confused. And I know, are you saying in Texas they passed a law that says you have to have a passport to vote?
No, you can have, if you don't have a driver's license, you can show a passport.
You can show a passport. It's an option.
Well, most people would have a driver's license before they have a passport.
Yeah.
But you provide different options of verification. Just like you go to the airport, if you don't have your driver's license, you show them your passport.
Yeah.
But what
this judge is saying is that she doesn't like the idea of a passport being a valid ID because most people who have passports in Texas, according to her, are white Anglos, and it's on. Therefore,
kick her
it's
out.
Unfair.
Kick her out. Get her out of the country. This federal judge. What's her name?
Her name is.
Well, she's an American citizen.
Nelva.
I don't
Gonzalez
care.
Ramos.
I don't care. Kick her out. Put her in Bermuda, or give. I'm not saying her.
She should be impeached. I think.
Yeah, this is insane.
This kind of thing is. I mean, that is. She is not making a legal ruling.
Yeah, she's not quoting a law.
She's not quoting a law. And we talked about this in the story meeting, How does she know that Anglos are more likely to have a passport than anyone else?
And if they
how
are,
does she know
so
that?
What?
Well, I know. That,
Whose problem is that?
All the law is doing is giving multiple options. So if someone who doesn't drive won't have a driver's license, therefore you want to give them
a
the
passport.
Right. You want to give them the right to vote if they have to ID themselves. So you make other options. You know, I mean, I'm sure a military ID would, you know, would suffice.
Listen, wait, read that again. Again, this is a federal. This is what happens when you get 8 years of a secular, progressive president who's unhinged from the Constitution but wants to use his office to appoint federal judges that are going to impose his worldview regardless of what how constitutional something is
right.
or not. These people, these liberal judges like this one you're about to mention, again, they know what's best for the world, and that's what they're here to impose. That's why I call them little gods.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to be she's not going to be impeached.
No.
She's not going to be held accountable. That's what these liberal judges know. And they're more than liberal. I don't mind a classic liberal so much.
This is lawless.
This is lawless. These are hardcore progressives who want to impose. So what they've done in Texas, like other states, they've said, listen, if you're going to come vote here in this state, you're going to have some sort of photo ID so that we can make sure you are who you say you are.
Right.
So that we can avoid voter fraud, right? Now, probably 90% to 95% of the public has a driver's license, I would guess, and that would suffice. But what is she also saying? Does this also strike down the driver's license?
No, this particular paragraph she mentions passport, books, and cards.
But I think she struck down the entire law.
Based on her
paragraph.
Let me read it again. This feature remains discriminatory because SB5 perpetuates the selection of types of ID most likely to be possessed by Anglo voters and disproportionately not possessed by Hispanics and African Americans.
You know who's responsible for this? This isn't the judge's fault. That's her ideology. That's what she believes. It's not President Obama's fault. That's his belief. That's his ideology. Where are the checks and balances?
Hmm.
Where's Congress? Paul Ryan and them are on vacation. These judges do these rogue, unconstitutional, she doesn't cite any law, and they issue these blanket rulings that sometimes cover the whole U.S., even though they're in a certain
right.
U.S. district. And so where is Congress? That's the problem here. You're going to have rogue judges. You're going to have presidents you don't agree with appointing rogue judges. But there's checks and balances, and we're not utilizing them.
Remember, it was Barack Obama appointed judge that first ruled, the guy in Hawaii that
right.
ruled on the president's travel ban? He just decided that President Donald Trump hates Muslims. Remember
right.
he said
right.
that?
Right.
was in
That's
his
what
decision.
I'm saying.
Right.
Just made this declaration.
Right. And, like, to Walker's point, he made the ruling binding on the whole country
yeah.
when he
right.
only has authority over his district.
Uh-huh. Right.
If Hillary Clinton had been elected president and you had 4 to 8 more years of appointing
yeah.
judges like this, our country would have been over.
Right.
By over, I mean the Constitution would have been of no meaning or purpose.
Well, and civic activity would have been meaningless because it doesn't matter how hard you work
right.
towards something,
right.
and what laws you pass,
right.
you go to your state legislators, you call your congressmen, you call your senators. It wouldn't matter because
right.
it would all be in the hands of a judge.
Right.
And nobody would know how they might rule because they don't rule based on precedent. They don't rule based on law. They rule based on how they feel. I know Donald Trump hates Muslims. I'm striking it down.
Right,
right. right. And,
our
right.
republic would be over.
So anyway, where does this go from here?
This will go to the Fifth Circuit. The Texas Attorney General has already said he's going to appeal this. It's going to go to the Fifth Circuit.
Do you know, and this is unfair to ask because you're not here to tell us all the ins and outs of all these laws, but, you know, I understand that if a person doesn't drive, they still want to vote.
Yeah.
So do you happen to know whether there's any other kind of ID that they can show, you know, if they don't have a driver's license and don't have a passport, then they say, well, that means I can't vote?
Anyway.
I'm not sure. There are other jurisdictions. I believe in Mississippi this is the case. where there is an offering that the government will come and pick you up, because you don't have a driver's license.
Right.
We'll come and pick you up. We'll bring you to a government office. We'll take your picture, and you just prove to us that you're a citizen.
Oh, well, see,
And we'll drive you home. All right, so now you've got something that
government
is
ID.
Government ID, and even those kinds of things have been shot down.
Yeah, yeah. See, now, to me, that's reasonable. That everybody should have to be able to, and we'll pick you up and get it taken care of.
See, that's even that is okay. You know, it's okay. Maybe you need that to get through the court's standards, but the government shouldn't be picking people up to go get dadgum driver's license. If you can drive and vote, you can drive and get your driver's license. I guarantee.
Well, but we're talking about people who can't drive.
Yeah.
Well, how do they go vote?
A friend can take them, or. You know,
but this is the government saying, we're going to give you a valid ID. We'll come pick you up at your house. We'll create a valid ID for you, and we'll take you home. So that on election day, you can get a friend to take you to the polls, and you've got a valid
ID. I'll guarantee these folks go to the movies on Friday night. And how do they get there?
Yeah.
Well, no, that's true. I mean, you can find a way to go down to a...
This is just a judge who doesn't like white people, basically.
And she doesn't like this government, and she doesn't like the Texas government either.
I have no idea whether she likes white people. But
what are Anglos?
Well, she's just categorizing.
Yeah.
She's saying
white people, more white people have passports than blacks or Hispanics. Therefore, I'm striking it down.
Yeah. I don't know. That doesn't mean she doesn't like white people. I don't know. She's a progressive that doesn't like a conservative approach to this problem. And probably because as a progressive, she wants illegals to be able to vote.
I wonder why Anglos are the standard. Like, what makes white people the standard?
Why does she point that out?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know what she's saying.
I'm just saying. I don't think she cares for white folks much, because why would you point that out? Why would you bring up the race?
It's discriminatory on the basis of the... I'm not defending her, by the way. But I think what she's saying, it's discriminatory on the basis of the majority, the Anglo majority, to pass a law that benefits them and excludes minorities from voting.
But here's another thing. Somebody was checking.
Minorities can't get... So minorities are prohibited from getting a passport. If you're a black or Hispanic in Texas, we're going to make it really hard on you.
That's the way she makes it sound.
It's $100. They may not have the money.
But hold on a second, gentlemen.
I had somebody
in the newsroom check this morning.
Yeah.
They said... I'm not sure where they got this, but the percentage of Hispanics in Texas has now reached 50%.
Okay.
Right.
They're not a minority.
Oh. Not in Texas, yeah.
Not in Texas.
If they're 50%.
50%, Hispanics are a majority of the minorities? Or are you saying there's as many Hispanics as there are whites?
According to this one site that this reporter went to this morning, it is not...
Well, that's more than just white people. Then that's more than everybody else. Whites and blacks and other minorities combined, it would be equal.
Let's leave it at this. There's a large portion now of the Texas population. This shouldn't surprise anyone that is Hispanic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But again, this whole thing is about, the legislature of Texas was trying to prevent voter fraud.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, that's the bottom line. You're trying to keep people from voting who aren't who they say they are, or people from voting multiple times and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
You need an ID, a photo ID, to check out the book from a library. You need almost for you to get on an airplane, almost for you to cash a check,
to buy cigarettes,
to buy yes. You got to have an ID, and she's saying. No, that's discriminatory.
And every law you pass, I'm going to strike down.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we'll be back in a minute. Stay with us. You're listening to Today's Issue.
I think I've got a
stumper
for you this week.
Trivia Friday. You know you laugh, and you know you always learn something.
What vegetable did an ancient Egyptian place his right hand when taking an oath?
Yeah, it's funny now, but put yourself in my place.
That funny, Jim?
It is.
Da-dum, 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 da-dum,
but listen to the question.
Trivia Friday. You'll want to tune in. 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
You know, the Bible describes Jesus' last days on planet Earth. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel, the Holy Land, March 8th through the 16th. And we'll be visiting those places that the Bible mentions in Jesus' last days, including his time in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is on the Mount of Olives. We're also going to go to the house of Caiaphas and see the very steps that Jesus walked on his way there from the Garden of Gethsemane. And then finally, that day we'll be going to the Via Dolorosa, the path that Jesus walked to the cross. So it's going to be a fantastic time in Israel as we see what happened to Jesus and we talk about the hope that we have in his resurrection. For more information, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com or call 800-FAMILIES, option 5. 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Caitlin Bird. I'm a nursing major and I'm a junior. The School of Nursing here at TMU, it's different than any other, you know, university or college out there. Every time we come into class, no matter which nursing professor it is, we always begin in devotion and prayer, and we become a family. They actually allow the students to get up and do devotion and prayer. We pray with each other and for each other, and that's just what sets us apart from any other school of nursing out there.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Joe Kennedy, a football coach in Bremerton, Washington, was punished for taking a knee at the 50-yard line for a post-game prayer. Coach Joe was ordered to stop. He was told he could no longer bow his head or take a knee or do anything that could be perceived as a prayer. When he refused, Coach Joe lost his job. First Liberty Institute took on Coach Joe's case, arguing the coach has a constitutional right to pray. But a federal appeals court says otherwise. The Ninth Circuit Court in California says football coaches are not permitted under the Constitution to engage in public prayer. Catholic coaches are not even allowed to cross themselves. Welcome to the America that was fundamentally transformed by President Obama and his activist judges. It's a nation where football players can take a knee to disrespect the flag, but a coach can't take a knee to pray to the Almighty. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
What's the federal judge's name again, Fred?
What's her address?
It's Judge, U.S. District Judge Nelva Gonzalez-Ramos.
Okay. So she's the one that struck down the Texas photo ID law.
The second version of it.
Yeah.
Which has been approved by the Justice Department in Washington.
Okay. That will be appealed to the Fifth Circuit Court in New Orleans, which is the federal appellate court. And then from then it may go to the Supreme Court. Has the Supreme Court ever ruled on the photo ID law, photo ID laws?
I don't think it's made its way there.
I don't think so. That's okay. What we need, Abraham. And by Hamilton, the way, but he's had a, you know, his wife had a baby, so he can't be at work.
I don't know whether this federal judge has anything against Anglo-Saxons. You call them Saxons, or did you just go with Anglo?
Anglo-Saxons. Angles is what the English. That's where the word English comes from.
What's a Saxon then?
Well, the Anglo-Saxons invaded England.
Can you have an Anglo of any other name? Would be my question.
Well, an Anglo by any other name is still an Anglo.
well, Jackie,
that's William Shakespeare.
An
Anglo-Saxon.
Right, what I'm saying is there anything besides? Does Anglo always go with Saxon?
It's just the origination of the word English comes from Angles, which comes from the Anglo-Saxons who invaded. So I don't even know if Anglo-Saxons technically exist anymore. But
are we Caucasians or Anglo-Saxons? Are we just white people?
We are plumbing the depth of.
Well, I think it's interesting.
That means Ed's done answering your question.
Well, my point is, I want to apologize.
White Europeans.
I want to apologize for saying that this federal judge doesn't like white people. I was just.
I thought you were being sarcastic.
I was being sarcastic. I don't know what she may be a wonderful person who...
Who makes a lousy judge.
Who makes a lousy judge. That's right. That's right. What are you going to say, Walker?
What, Jackie on Facebook.
You Anglo-Saxon, you?
Yeah, I'm convicted. I'm convicted.
Guilty.
What's the charge? I can't vote. I can't vote next election. No, the Jackie on Facebook said that judge's opinion is itself racist. And I think what Jackie's referring to is that the judge is assuming that minorities don't have the ability,
right,
or wisdom, or capability to go get their own driver's license. Which,
right. Or ID, yeah.
Or if they want a passport, to go get a passport.
Right.
You go down
right.
the post office and you apply for the passport.
Yeah. Yeah. Her ruling assumes that minorities aren't capable of taking care of themselves.
Yeah.
Enough
right.
to vote.
Yeah.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Walker Wildman and Fred Jackson. Walker's taking care of our Today's Issues Facebook page. And did you just put that story on there?
I did. I posted the One News Now article about the rogue federal judge in Texas.
And there's another story for you to post up there from Drudge Report. Laziness epidemic. I'm not really sure what it's about. I just didn't have the energy to read it.
So, what a coincidence.
I had to do that one.
All right. Is we have our guest?
We do.
All right. Jan Markell is with us every Thursday. That it works out with her schedule to be on with us. She's the founder of Olive Tree Ministries and host of the radio program Understanding the Times here on American Family Radio, and other radio stations carry her program as well on the weekends. And Jan joined us from the Twin Cities area. Good morning, Jan.
Well, thank you for having me.
Jan, Walker, you had a question you wanted to ask.
Yeah, Jan, I just wanted to, I know you study a lot about Israeli and U.S. politics and kind of the relations there. I wanted to ask, and a lot of folks will be interested in this, overall, President Trump the last 7 months, what kind of grade, you know, would you give him on his administration's relations with Israel?
Well, that's a really good question, and it's the probably the answer is kind of morphing as we move along. Certainly, when you compare it to the previous administration, you know, that was off the chart horrible, and I would say we're having a good start with the Trump administration. There certainly are some issues. As with other administrations, he did not move the embassy. He says he still probably will. I'm not convinced 100%. I think what's interesting, and I'm glad you raised the question, is as we speak, Jared Kushner is in Israel. He's either on his way or he's there.
He's there.
And the purpose, the purpose is to meet with Mahmoud Abbas and try to form a two-state solution, which is, again, would be the final solution for Israel. If there were ever two states, Palestinian and Israeli state side by side, it's not humanly possible for reasons we can't go into. But that troubles me that there's just an ongoing effort to divide Israel and land for peace, leaves Israel in pieces, and leaves those various pieces, such as Gaza, filled with terrorists. And there's going to be a war with Hezbollah here eventually. We don't know when, but eventually there'll be a war with Hezbollah. That's what they should be over there talking about, and hopefully they are.
Jan, I know this, as you mentioned, this gets complicated, Middle East politics and you know, the history behind Israel and the kind of the rifts with the surrounding countries. Basically, can you kind of give our listeners a 1 or 2 minute explanation as why can't Israel and all these countries, why can't they just get along and leave each other alone? What's going on over there?
Well, there's a reference in Psalm 83, and I think it's extremely prophetic. It's referring to, I think, reborn Israel, which happened in 1948. And the verse in Psalm 83 says that her neighbors are saying, come, let us wipe out the very memory of Israel's existence. And that's what's going on. That's been in their heart since she was, when she became a nation in 1948. The next day, there was a war, because that's what's in the heart of her Islamic neighbors, is we have to wipe out the very memory of Israel's existence. And so there's not a ghost of a chance for peace. But when politicians don't have a biblical worldview, they don't know this. They're some of them are eternal optimists that the terrorist side of the equation will lay down their weapons and come to the peace table, and all will be well. That will never happen. So, you know, it's a delusional situation, and that's the only way it can be explained.
To Jan's point, Jared Kushner met this morning with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Jerusalem. And we have a video on One News Now of that meeting this morning and some comments from both Kushner and the Prime Minister. But in that video also, you will see the protests taking place in Ramallah this morning. They're already saying this is not going to work. And to Jan's point also, the Palestinian leadership, Hamas, they don't want peace with Israel. This is the, you know, if you're following history, and Jan is exactly right, they hate the Jewish people. They don't think they should exist as a nation. That's, as she was saying, the day after they became a nation, 1948, again in 1967, and I guess again in 1971, 72, in that area. They've proven it. They don't want her as a nation. The Palestinian children are taught to hate the Jewish people.
That's right.
Maps in Ramallah and places on the West Bank do not have Israel even on the map. So the real plan there is the Jewish people, we don't want you here. In fact, the way to resolve this is basically to wipe out the Jewish people.
Well, and Jan, this is Ed here. It's not only that the Palestinians hate the Jewish people. That's part of it. But my understanding is that Islam itself teaches that once land has been controlled and belonged to the what's called the House of Islam, it is forever Islamic. And so it is a hatred for the Jews, and it's certainly demonic because that hatred has existed for thousands of years.
Yeah.
But it is a tenet of Islam that once this land, which the Jews have now returned to, beginning, you know, a century ago or so, it can never leave the House of Islam. And so, according to Islam itself, isn't it true that property belongs to Islam and can never belong to the Jews?
Well, there certainly has been some Islamic influence. I mean, the Ottoman Turks back in the early 1900s up until about 1917, the Ottoman Turks were kind of in possession of that land. So, you know, that point would be well stated, I think. But I do think it ultimately goes back to the sentiment of the Bible. And then, quite frankly, the sentiment of God, which basically says that land cannot be divided. I mean, there is a warning in the Bible, several warnings, to anybody who tries to divide the land. I'm blanking out as to the reference right now. I think it's Leviticus 25, but there's a warning to anybody who tries to divide that land. And that's why when we see America getting involved in dividing that land of Israel, all sorts of curses come upon America. I mean, look at the division we've got going on right now in America, but it's happening at the very time somebody's over, an American is over in Israel trying to divide the land. So I think it's very dangerous to even get involved in doing that. However, one administration after another keeps trying it.
Jan, who do you got coming up on your show this weekend?
Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel out in California. Your listeners know him quite well. We're going to talk about some very interesting things, including all the people who insist that the rapture is going to be September 23rd. It's it's almost cult-like. Millions of people believe that, and it's really dangerous. That's date setting. You can't do it. So we're going to come against that this weekend. That's noon central on Sunday and 1 central on Saturday.
I haven't heard about that, Jan.
Who's promoting that?
Who's promoting this?
All sorts of people, because they've come up with a discovery that there's a sign in the sky. They're basing it on Revelation 12. The sign in the sky with Virgo. They're actually tapping into astrology, which is forbidden, and some other things. It's a phenomenon. It's the most searched for topic on Google. So that's really saying something.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, Jan, thanks. Your show airs when on AFR on the weekends?
Sunday at noon Central, Saturday at 1 p.m. Central.
Well, we get a lot of great response, and I know you do,
and
too.
And thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, thank you, Jan. Take care.
Guys, I hadn't heard anything about this new prediction of the rapture on September 23rd. But we just never seemed to learn. I mean, it wasn't too long ago we had the prediction. Who was that guy who
in California?
It was called Family Radio.
Yeah, some people got mixed up with us.
Yeah, the guy who
it was in May 20 whatever.
Well, the fellow passed. Didn't he pass away?
He had a heart attack like a few weeks later.
We're talking about the gentleman a few years back who had a radio network, a Christian radio network. Very similarly named to ours. I think it was called Family Network instead of American Family Radio. But anyway, he was the one who predicted.
Harold Camping.
Yeah, Harold Camping.
Was that in 2014? When was that? Does it say?
He predicted the end of the world on May 21st of 2011.
2011. 6 years ago already?
I remember people were selling their houses and all their goods, and they were going to go to California because they wanted to all be together. That's where he was based.
Yeah.
But people took this so seriously.
Well,
and again, first, this was the second or third time he was wrong.
Well, and then when it didn't come to pass in May, he said, a miscalculation, it's October.
Yeah.
And then his
calculator battery was low, if you remember. And I thought that was a little flimsy.
That's a flimsy excuse.
Don't you think that's kind of flimsy? Anyway, the point, in all seriousness, Jesus Christ will one day rapture the church, is what most Christians believe, and that is he will come again a second time back to earth, as he said in the Bible. Jesus himself said, I will come again. So that will happen at some point in history. So one day that'll happen. But the Bible also says that Christians aren't supposed to name dates that will happen, especially specific.
Yeah, remember what Jesus.
And that's what, you know, Ed's point, we don't learn, do we? He's talking about we Christians keep naming dates that Jesus is going to return, and then when he doesn't, that doesn't happen. Then
Jesus was asked the question. Remember, when are you coming back? He says, only the Father knows. He didn't answer the question.
To me, it's really not right to even use the Christian identity or label if you're going directly contrary to Scripture by predicting a date. Mm-hmm. And so I would question the person's loyalty to Scripture, if you're going contrary to it.
And Tim, we actually have somebody who can tell us when Jesus is coming back.
Introduce the fellow.
Well, Alex McFarland. Everyone knows Alex on our radio network, co-host of Exploring the Word. He's an author, apologetics expert. He co-hosts Exploring the Word with Bert Harper weekdays on AFR at 3 p.m. Central Time. Alex, you tell us, is September 23rd the day?
Well, you know, even if by luck somebody accurately guessed the day, I think the Lord would move it, because Mark 13:32, and I use the Gospel of Mark because even critics believe in the authenticity of Mark, but Jesus said no one knows the day or the hour. And, you know, I think we might discern the season. I mean, the world is in a place where certainly we may be in the last days, but the date of the rapture, no human will ever accurately predict.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. That's what you're listening to on American Family Radio. Our guest this next few minutes is our good friend and colleague, Dr. Alex McFarland, who joins us from North Carolina. And Alex is co-host with Bert Harper in the afternoon on the program Exploring the Word. If you want a great live on the radio Bible study with call-ins, Alex and Bert, probably the bravest two people on our network, because they just take live calls from folks with questions about the Bible, never knowing what they're going to ask exactly.
Hey, Alex, have you ever told a caller, not going to do it, not going to answer that question?
Well, sometimes we have to help the caller kind of frame their question, you know, because, you know, every now and then the questions will be a little bit all over the map, but, you know, we have the best audience. We love exploring the Word because it's like a live nationwide Bible study. And, you know, what's a blessing, not only the Bible questions, and we love to give the facts about God's Word and the truth of the gospel, but many times people call in and they'll say, you know, we've got this issue. And we had a man just a while back called in, and live on the air, he began to tearfully explain that his marriage was in trouble. We prayed for him. We helped him get connected with some people. And he called back in, and he said God has restored his marriage. And so you put two pastors on the radio with an open phone line, and there's going to be some ministry happening.
Hey, does anybody ever call in and make fun of Brother Bert's accent?
No.
Okay.
We love Bert, and you know,
Bert makes fun of Bert's accent. That's why I asked that.
We have some pretty thick accents here.
We're from the South, so I guess we sound Southern.
Well, it's funny. Bert makes fun of Bert's accent.
Yeah, he's Bert. He's got a wicked, awesome accent there. I was just talking to him the other day when we went out to the parking lot there.
I don't know.
Parked the cars out there and by the harbor.
I got to tell you, I don't know if a Boston accent would work for exploring the words a Bible study.
Let's turn to the Book of Mark. The Book of Mark, chapter 13.
The Gospel of Mark.
Did they have chatter?
Oh, yeah, you have chatter when you're reading chapter 13. It's awesome.
Ed Vitagliano, he'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen. And he's not impersonating. He's doing a slight impersonation, but that's what he grew up in New Hampshire. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Check out our Today's Issues Facebook page for more to follow us. And we're posting the stories that we're talking about there as well, and we're live video streaming the show. If you want to watch the show on the Facebook Live, go there and do that. But, you know, Alex, people are, you know, we talk about, the Bible says, well, nobody knows the day, specific day or time. So when Christians set a day, I'm like, Walker, my word, that goes directly against Scripture. Why are you doing that kind of thing? Mm-hmm. Who is this doing that? What did Jan say? Have you heard about this? Have you heard about this September?
The
what?
Aligning.
Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, well, you know, whenever the solar system lines up or we have an eclipse, as we did on Monday, I mean, it's a beautiful thing because it shows the orderliness of the universe. And, you know, it's funny, I've debated a lot of atheists, and the atheists try to argue that there is no design to the universe because if there's a design, there had to be a designer, and the atheists don't want that. But like the eclipse on Monday, they said at 2:42 it would come through North Carolina or the darkness, and my goodness, at about 2:41 and 45 seconds, it started to get dark. And the mathematical precision with which they can predict the movements of the planets shows that this is an orderly designed universe. And so whenever there is something in the sky like that, I always caution people, don't just try to proof text and say, oh, my goodness, Revelation 12, therefore it must be the end of time. No, I mean, Psalm 19 says the heavens declare the glory of God. But where it says, be ready, be faithful, watch, pray, do the work of an evangelist. We're not to obsessively watch the newspaper so that we can predict when we're going to get raptured out of here. We're to win the lost and disciple the saved, build godly families. As I read my Bible, we know Christ is coming back, absolutely. But our job is to fulfill his great commission and just be ready for whenever he does come.
This is, by the way, in terms of what this teaching is, I'm reading, it says, the Revelation 12 sign is an apocalyptic belief heralding that the time of Jacob's trouble, also known as the tribulation period, may begin on September 23rd, 2017. It has to do with a literal fulfillment of the prophecy made in the book of Revelation 12, verses 1 and 2, which describes a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. Many people worldwide believe that an astronomical alignment involving the constellations Virgo and Leo, the sun, moon, and planets Mercury, Mars, Venus, and Jupiter is going to occur in September.
Right.
That would fulfill this prophecy word for word. That's where the teachings come.
I want to say this, and I love Jesus and I love the body of Christ. I would not be surprised if all of this was maybe written by an atheist group trying to bait Christians to make them look foolish, because there have been some of these types of things before. Revelation 12, in a way, is talking about how Satan and the demons have acted in the world. They tried to kill the Messiah that was being born through the nation of Israel. The woman that delivered the man-child, the woman is Israel, the man-child that would rule the nations is Jesus. And it talks about Michael fighting Satan. But I personally don't believe there's any way you can legitimately equate Revelation 12 to this false alignment of the planets in our solar system. I don't think that's legitimate, and it may actually be a thing to bait Christians into making them look foolish.
Well, I can tell you right now, Christians aren't going to fall for it. If this is an atheist baiting, that Christians are not going to fall for that trick.
Yeah.
Tongue in cheek.
Alex, how do people contact you? I know you speak around the country and, you go to a lot of places, do debates and so forth. You speak in churches.
God bless you.
Go ahead.
God bless you. Well, my website is alexmcfarland.com. And then also all of our Exploring the Word shows, you can listen to archive shows on AFR.net, as in American Family Radio.net. We do a lot of apologetics and Christian worldview equipping seminars. And very often when I'll go to a church in the city, they'll get me on a local college campus, which we've seen a lot of fruit there. But just my website, alexmcfarland.com.
Each afternoon, folks, if you're new to American Family Radio, you can tune in the afternoons from 3:05 to 4 o'clock Central Time here on AFR. And Alex and Bert they co-host the program Exploring the Word, which is a live on the radio Bible study on American Family Radio. Why? Because the Bible is the Word of God. That's the name of the show, Exploring the Word. And the Bible shows us how to be right with God and how to live, and is also a great history book, a book of theology. It's very rich in so many ways. Thus, we devote an hour of time each weekday to study God's Word. We encourage you to tune in, even if you don't believe that it's God's Word. Give them a shot. Bert and Alex an opportunity to open your eyes and ask God to open your heart. All right. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it, my friend. Take care.
Bless you guys. Thank you.
All right. Dr. Alex McFarland.
McFarland. Dr. Alex McFarland.
Could you...
He needs to settle down.
That is a very distinct accent that they carry there.
It's wicked awesome.
How far does that go out from Boston?
It's
100 miles
that,
or
that
so?
Was, you know, I don't know, because, you know, New Hampshire, I grew up really in New Hampshire.
People talk like that?
Yeah. Accents in the Northeast. Walked in the barbershop yesterday. Guy was ahead of me in the barbershop from Brooklyn, New York. Knew
here?
It right away.
Wow.
You could tell her right away. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.